This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Anthony's from the Victorian AIDS Council. He's a counsellor and he does some great work in the domestic violence space. Good morning, Anthony.
Hi, Tess. Thanks, Mecca.
And also with you, we have two other gentlemen. Matthew Parsons, who's a director and has actually directed a fantastic show that's on show, about to come on show. That's right.
Called Theatre, Tess.
Theatre. Okay.
15th of July.
Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
Great voice. And of course, Russ Vickery, who's the performer. So Russ is performing in the show called My Other Closet, The Cabaret.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you all here.
Thank you.
So look, I want to start with you, Anthony. Talk to us a little bit about domestic violence in the LGBTI communities.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, and I guess it's a really sort of emerging area in terms of services and what sort of programs and interventions are being offered to the queer community, because I guess for a very long time we've considered this to be a straight issue. You know, the domestic violence is something that happens to straight women by straight men. And there are some, I guess, you know, post-Royal Commission, there's been a lot of focus on what's happening in queer spaces and in our relationships, and it has been identified as a serious issue. And so, you know, there's lots of funding now that's starting to be directed towards services like the ones we have at VAC. I just wanted to say, I thought I'd take a different angle on describing domestic violence, because some people ask, you know, what does domestic violence look like in our relationships? Is it different?
Yeah, not, good point.
It's not different. There are some very specific things that might occur that make it unique to queer relationships. But often when we talk about domestic violence, we talk about the behaviours the perpetrator is using. And I think that although, yes, that's important to identify and name those behaviours, We sometimes take our focus off the impact that it has on the victim. And so domestic violence is really any behaviour that causes that victim or survivor to feel intimidated, coerced, controlled, and indeed abused.
That's a pretty broad definition then.
Yeah.
Anthony, let's just go back a little bit. Sure. So you've started to sort of give us a broad definition. Can you name some of those specific behaviours?
So I guess within queer relationships, and if I talk about same-sex male relationships, you know, there'll be things like threatening to out your partner. You know, we know sometimes that, you know, not all of us are out. And then I think it's a heteronormative idea anyway that we have to be out, which, you know, being out is important for our mental health, where we really can choose and decide when we come out, how we come out, and to what degree.
Well, that's relevant to men and trans people and intersex people as well. It's not just a gay
to
men's issue.
No. And I guess because most of my work is with same gender attracted men, I'm speaking, I guess, from that space. But you know, withholding HIV medication as well, threatening to out someone's HIV status or other forms of psychological abuse or coercion, or coercive control tactics of abuse that might be used to limit the other person's capacity to move about sort of openly and freely. And I guess that's the essence of domestic violence, when the victim is starting to second guess themselves, then they're starting to be mindful that there might be consequences to them if they start to sort of move about in a way where they feel that they have every right to.
Wow. Anthony, just going back again into sort of some of the contextual stuff, the 2016 Royal Commission into Domestic and Family Violence found that LGBTI people experienced higher rates of domestic violence than heterosexual couples. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Is that really the case?
Look, I think it's an under-researched and underdeveloped area, domestic violence in the queer space, and what we are learning, I guess, if what's been the conversation in the literature does suggest that it is happening at high rates. It's fairly widespread and it is increasing because we are getting more reports coming through places like the criminal justice system and community services. But I don't think I'm in a position to say it happens more in this space compared to that space. So we have more accessible information from, you know, I guess in terms of the straight community and the impact that it has on women, I guess. So trans women, there are some studies. I know a Scottish study out of sight out of mine that found that trans women were at increasingly higher rates of homicide compared to heterosexual women. So, look, I don't know about numbers and figures, but it's an issue for all of us.
So can I deduce from that we don't have data to really illustrate what is actually going on there? Is that what you're saying?
Matt would be able to speak more to this because he's domestic violence researcher.
So. Yeah, sure. Didn't want to jump in and step on anybody's toes. But generally what we do see in the data that's available, there's limited studies here in Australia. There's a few really good ones, mostly done by ACON up in New South Wales. They've been doing work in this space for quite a while, which is great. But overall what we see in domestic violence is that marginalized groups or people who experience oppression and discrimination throughout their life are at a higher likelihood of victimhood. And one of the theories behind that, although we do need a lot more research into pathways to victimhood, but is a lowering of the bar of what a person experiences as normal behavior. So if your general everyday today experience is one of oppression and violence, then of course you're more apt to accept what other people might consider unacceptable behaviours in your intimate relationships as well.
I think one of the challenges here is that, you know, as Anthony said and Eurydice, people need to understand this is not just physically necessarily physical violence. Mm. So, you know, there is a... It's probably two sentences too long, but... The World Health Organization defines violence, and I'd like to think of this in a domestic context, right? Is the intentional use of physical force or power, threatened or actual, against another person or against a group or community which either results in or has a high likelihood of resulting in injury, death, psychological harm, maldevelopment or deprivation. Now, I know it's a bit long,
yeah,
but it captures it, and people need to understand that, you know, your partner or, you know, can bully you, and that is domestic violence. Withholding your medication, threatening to out you, you know, reducing your income, it is all part of it. So don't just think, it's not just biffo.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point because often, and I think it's not just the queer community, but it is the mainstream community that we think of domestic violence being mostly things like physical abuse, sexual abuse, property damage and threats to life. And those four things are listed in the Crimes Act as criminal offences. And I think because you can be prosecuted for those and charged, and those are the more visible forms of violence, that's why I think people are very clear that they are domestic violence. And the more invisible forms of family violence, you know, the sort of more coercive tactics, the more subtle forms that aren't visible to anybody else except the victim, they're the ones that often sort of get missed because they aren't so clear-cut in the eyes of the law. They're not listed in the Crimes Act as criminal offences.
Interestingly, in a lot of the qualitative research into victims' experiences, we know that people often say something similar to, well, you know, the physical stuff heals much quicker than the psychological abuse, and that has a longer-term effect.
Yes. So that's a nice sort of segue into... LGBTI inclusive services and service responses. Mm. Anthony and of course Matthew, can you tell us what they look like? What is a responsive LGBTI sensitive service response?
Well, we do. I guess we're very proud at VAC to report that we do have the only men's behaviour change program in Australia that is specifically designed to respond to same sex male domestic violence. So I think, I don't know of another group intervention that is for queer men in the world, actually. So I think we're, it's, and that group's been running since 2003. So it's been around for a while, and now it's attracting quite a lot of attention, I guess, in terms of funding post-Royal Commission.
So what makes that service unique as opposed to a service that you might access through a local community health service?
Well, most of the men's behaviour change programs, in fact, all of the men's behaviour change programs in Victoria statewide are designed for men who are in relationships with women. So intimate partner violence, where there's male violence is used against a female partner. And I guess the group at VAC is for same-sex attracted men, which is, in terms of the sort of actual work that's done in the room, there aren't sort of too many sort of notable differences. We're still there to hold the perpetrator to account. We're still getting him to review his behaviours and to stop his violence and to hold him, ultimately accountable for his use.
We're going to go to a break shortly, but I wanted to mention I've had when he was Chief Commissioner, I had a number of chats with Ken Lay about this when he was Chief Commissioner of Police. He's now the Chair of Ambulance Victoria. Ambulance Victoria are pretty aware of the spread and the depth of domestic violence in Australia across all communities, and also, you know, a good friend of the station, Neil Mitchell, is very interested in this.
Oh, and Macca, you might recall we had Fiona Richardson,
yes,
the member for Northcote, I think,
yep,
who in her capacity as Minister for Women's Affairs,
yep,
came into the studio and spoke at, you know, at great length about the work the Commission was doing and some of the recommendations. So the data question I'm very interested in, because she did commit to,
yes,
uphold that recommendation and invest in better data collection systems around LGBTI people. We're talking LGBTI domestic violence this morning, and we have Anthony Lekas from the Victorian AIDS Council and Matthew Parsons and Russ Vickery who are here to talk to us about a show that they've put together called My Other Closet, the Cabaret. But before we do go into the show, I just want to give credit where it's due. Matthew did a very quick Google search for us and was able to tell us that the state government, as a result of the Commission into Domestic Violence,
yep,
has invested $7.4 million into...
Close, I'll correct you. It was $2.5 million last year and $5.28 million this year.
It's still $7 million.
More than that.
So it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that's for our communities, to help build,
yeah,
the evidence base around what is occurring and then to help us design interventions.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.